Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're the Glazers and you're a businessman and you couldn't give a about English football besides the opportunity it presents to you, you've just invested nothing. You've received back hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds.
The one who's got real, real talent is Fernandes.
Ten Hag.
He won't be kidding the players. He won't be kidding people who know about football. There'll be a new coach in place next year.
What will happen with Radcliffe is it'll be 10% better than it is now. You think they could win the league?
4 transfer windows.
Welcome to episode 13 of Simon and Souness. I feel the need to start this show with an apology for my absence last time. I'm leaving you in a...
Can I assure you weren't missed? You weren't missed.
Well, my point was, I've seen the numbers.
I believe the numbers have gone right through.
And tragically, the numbers tell a different
story.
Tell
me they're not. Tell me they were greater for last week than...
Sorry.
Seriously.
Sorry, mate. No.
Does Jim know?
Clearly, I'm needed.
Yeah.
Does Maybe Jim not know? Wanted. Oh, of course. Made damn sure he knows. Look, I'm going to start by talking about someone that you and I spoke about when he first landed in this country, which is Ten Hag. And Ten Hag's done a lot of press conferences recently that seem to be the blind leading the deaf, where he makes observations that don't seem to be anything resembling what's going on in the pitch or what's going on full stop. We talked about Ten Hag at the beginning, and I've made this observation about him being a small man in a big suit and didn't seem to have the prestige and stature to be able to manage this club. Where are you on Ten Hag, 18 months in now?
I think he took on a monster job. You know, Man United have been in the doldrums for over a decade now in terms of where they want to be and should be and where they were for 25 years under Fergie. A big, big job. Have things got any better? And I think he has to hold his hands up and say some of the players he's bought have not lived up to expectations, paid over the odds for them. But that...
You mean Anthony?
Anthony, yeah.
Yeah. And your mate, Steady Eddie?
Yeah.
Casemiro.
Well, I just think that still not getting their football decisions right. If you're looking at their biggest rival, historically the biggest rival,
Liverpool,
and they're now their same City rival,
right,
they're getting their football decisions right. Man United have not done that for over a decade now, and they are where they are because of that.
When you hear him, Gray, and you hear Ten Hag talking in
post-match... He's talking positives all the time.
Sure, but I mean, which is... I suppose it's better than talking negatives, but isn't there an air of ridiculousness? I mean, he said the other day that if he'd have had the availability of players, i.e. he's lost a lot of players during injury during this period of time, he'd have won 75 of the 100 games or whatever games he's played. Now, that would have been a record that eclipses the level that Ferguson operates at.
Well,
that would be a record
correct.
That eclipses the level that Guardiola operates at in terms of 75%.
Not with that group of players he's got. Not a chance. I mean, I don't... He won't be kidding the players. He won't be kidding people who know about football. He's being positive. He's trying to put a positive spin on it. And it's difficult if you're trotting that out every week and you're not getting the results. I mean, at the weekend, they won against Everton, but it was a fortunate one. Two penalties, huffed and puffed most of the game.
And Everton being... If Everton had a decent striker or players that were less profligate...
They're always going to be held up and compared with Liverpool and Man City. You know, one 35 miles down the road or whatever it is, won a couple of miles.
Well, they're going to be held
city.
Up and compared to Man United sides of previous years, aren't
and
they?
And that.
Yeah.
And their history. So right now, they're a long way off. Jim Radcliffe coming in, will he keep him? If I was a better man, I'd say no.
Do you think he was the right man for the job in the first instance? Because you've taken him out of Ajax with their brand of football. I don't know, do you buy into this? I mean, I don't know if you'll follow me on this journey of philosophies, because I just think this overused expression of philosophies that people come in and turn around and say the object of a coach is to make players better and produce a winning side. And if you've got good enough players, you make the team really entertaining and easy on the eye. But this thought process of philosophies, because he comes in from Ajax and they recruit him, do you think that with that background, that he was the right person for the job in the first instance?
Listen, if he had the right, if he had walked into a Man United a dressing room full of top players, he might have been the right man. But so his job is manager stroke coach stroke being in charge of recruitment. The yeah. most important thing you have to get right at a football club is recruitment.
Indeed.
They've not done that. They've not done that. And they've huffed and puffed, and with that brings a pressure. You know, like a football decision. You don't have an infinite amount of money to spend. They had a budget to work with, so you go and spend, was it circa 70 million on a goalkeeper because mm-hmm. you wanted to play more from the back. Now, De Gea...
But isn't that market price, though, Greg?
You've got Liverpool
paying 75 million quid for Edison.
You prioritise. You've got to pick. You've got to try and strengthen where you feel you really, really need players. Did they really, really need to spend 70 million on a goalkeeper when like De Gea, who would have been still and was a very good goalkeeper from Man United? Could that 70 million...
I don't think he'd run his course, De Gea. It was beginning to... The statistics were beginning to show.
Well,
I mean, you talk about Jordan Pickford being a bombshell going off. David De Gea was beginning to throw in goals left, right and centre.
Well, I think De Gea was still a top goalkeeper. I mean, every goalkeeper will make mistakes. Was he the same goalkeeper that walked through the door? If you remember, he had a difficult start. And ended up winning ended up winning about five Matt Busby Player of the Season awards.
Yeah, couldn't catch a ball, could he?
He was a bit Pat Jennings-ish. You know, he stopped balls with his feet and legs and stuff.
Right.
But for a goalkeeper, that
but
is the
crosses he had a problem with first, wasn't it?
Keeping the ball out of the net. I think why he went to Onana, is that how you say it? Onana?
Yeah.
It was because he was better with the ball, is better with the ball at his feet. And the point I'm trying to make is you spend 70 million on that because you want to play differently. Are they really playing any differently now? Because he's better with the ball at the back. I'm thinking the 70 million. In my world, that 70 could have been spent elsewhere and been more productive by spending 70 million on another striker, another midfield player. I just think the recruitment's been pretty average.
When you talk about the idea that these players, not with this group of players, right? So last year, this group of players gets him a League Cup win,
mm-hmm.
gets him a Champions League berth,
mm-hmm.
right? This and everyone expects him to kick on, right? So put aside the price tags. He needs a goalkeeper, right? So if it doesn't worry Man United what they spend, it shouldn't worry us. So if they bought Onana for 40 million quid, then the argument would be they still needed a goalkeeper because De Gea, for whatever reason, had fallen out of favour. They went and buy the boy up top, Rasmus Højlund.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, given your argument and debate, that they not with this group of players are going to win leagues? I'm not expecting Man United to win the league at the moment. I'm expecting Man United to be better than sixth or seventh. Were they seventh now? Seventh, right?
If they had everyone fit, would they be better off? Possibly.
But isn't that the same for everybody?
Yeah, but that's what I was about to say. You know, that is part of the deal. If you're a football manager, you know you're going to have injuries throughout the season. You know, the fact if they had kept everyone fit all the time, which doesn't happen, how much better off would they be? Not the numbers that he's quoting.
But
so I think Man United right now are a country mile behind the City rival, Liverpool and Arsenal. And I would suggest they're behind Tottenham as well and Villa, which I think the table shows that.
Mm.
They're where they should be.
We had the Manchester derby recently. And when you look at United's squad, moving on from the argument about what he's getting from them and what he hasn't got and who he's bought and he hasn't bought, have we reached the point with Man United that there's not a single Man United player that would get in the Man City side?
That's where they are, yeah.
And then the argument moves on. Have we reached a point where not a single Manchester United player would get in the Liverpool side or the Arsenal side?
I think we are. I think the one who's got real, real talent is Fernandes. He's got super talent, but there's things about them that frustrate you. You know, his arm waving, mm-hmm. showing disappointment.
I think he's getting better, though. I think he's
showing
reading the memos.
Showing disappointment too readily.
Mm.
Him in a different environment, playing with better players, I think he would get in both the City squad and the Liverpool squad. Would he be in the first 11? Not so sure about that, but he's got qualities, that boy.
Mm.
Real qualities.
Mm. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Well, you know, you're a businessman.
Allegedly.
Historically, you've been a businessman. You like every business. You've made money and you've lost money.
Correct.
What's Jim Ratcliffe going to do with Man United?
I think he's going to bring some common sense and some discipline into the proceedings, because clearly, over the last 10 years, United's problem, as you've alluded to, and you've just mentioned repeatedly about recruitment, is because people that have been there haven't focused on making sure that the diligence behind every acquisition meets the expectation of, A, a player that's capable of playing for Man United and gets the idea that playing for Man United comes with a responsibility, and B, that they make sure that the standards in the football operation are at a level where there's accountability and there's best-in-class operation. Now, Radcliffe, there's nothing wrong with Man United economically and commercially. No. The Glazers have been able to rinse every last penny out of every single commercial deal they've ever been able to do, and some could say that's admirable. Where the problem clearly lies is they've spent $1.6 billion net on transfer fees over a 10-year period since they've been in situ after Ferguson, and they've spent it badly.
But that would be the only criticism I have of them. Taking a dividend, they're hard-nosed American businessmen. They got an asset. It's a cash cow. It provides so much money coming in. Can take care of their debt. Is that a problem?
But that's their
job.
How about
their relationship with the fans? Do you think that's a...
Well, listen, in an ideal world, you have a perfect relationship between owner and fans. In the real world, it's not an easy one to achieve. Unless you've decided that you're going to be Roman Abramovich and you're going to spend whatever you feel like spending, whatever motivation you have, unless you're like Sheikh Mansour and do the same thing. If you're a top club, your expectation is that you spend enormous amounts of money, irrespective of the consequences of it, and you're expected to win. Now, the Glazers compound that by their refusal to communicate with the fan base and the manner in which they bought the football club. So they buy it with everyone else's money. They loaned it with debt.
You know business works. They didn't go to a bank. They must have had to put some collateral up to get the football club.
Well, the idea is that the Glazers put up 200 million quid of their own money.
And so they risked losing 200 million.
But they didn't. And here's the next part of the argument that gets debated, which is actually they didn't even start with 200 million quid of their own money. They borrowed that 200 million quid against assets in America. So they've actually gone in there for nothing. Yeah, now, if it's a business deal...
risk losing something.
Well, they risk losing some security. But hold on a second. You put 200 million quid in Man United, the worst case scenario, Man United's got to be worth more than 200 million quid, otherwise you're going to be out of pocket. Mm-hmm. So at no point were the Glazers ever going to be in a situation, even if they borrowed that 200 million quid.
So they're smart.
They're brilliant.
Businessmen.
This is the deal of all deals.
Yeah.
That's why there's a book written by this Chris Blackhurst, which is a brilliant book called The World's Biggest Cash Machine, because it is.
Let me tell you a story. I'm manager of Rangers. The chap Michael Knighton ends up in Glasgow, talks to David Murray. David Murray shakes his hand on buying 72% of Man United for 12 million quid. Mm. Shook hands on it. Mm. Michael Knighton has an option to take Edward Shear.
Yep.
But I think it was 12 million quid.
I know.
Woke up the following morning and changed his mind.
I remember him juggling in front of the Stretford end, and Michael Knighton still talks about that
story. First day of the season.
Whilst he ran Carlisle.
Mm. See, my criticism of the Glaziers would be this. Not that they take a dividend. Not that they don't communicate with supporters, that they didn't realise quickly, very quickly, Ed Woodward wasn't up to the job of managing the football side of Man United.
But again, if you're looking at it from the Glazers' point of view, well, I'm playing devil's advocate for the purpose of this conversation between you and I. Who gives a? We're printing money. Now what's happening is Radcliffe has come in. They wanted a certain amount of money back from this business. They've managed to achieve £1 billion. Don't forget, Radcliffe has put £1 billion into this business, if indeed that's his own money, and if indeed he hasn't borrowed it against United shares. And it's gone straight into Glazers' pockets. And Man United receive no benefit from this right now. The Glazers have. If you're the Glazers, you've achieved precisely what you wanted to achieve, but you've now landed in a space where you're beginning to see that your commercial opportunities are going to be degraded by your team's consistent lack of performance. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Radcliffe area, and don't forget Radcliffe's
successes. Yeah, but you can't see that Radcliffe sees it, the Glazers didn't see it. Glazers didn't,
the Glazers didn't care.
But they should have done. They should have seen.
But why?
If you're 3,000 miles away,
if you're the Glazers,
the thing was going backwards.
Great. If you're the Glazers and you're a businessman and you couldn't give a about English football besides the opportunity it presents to you, you've just invested nothing. You've received back hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds and just got somebody fool enough to pay £1 billion for 29%.
The Glazers did not invest in Man United. They still made money available. So my point
being, Man United's own money.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that they saw what was happening.
But they abdicated.
Bad football decisions were stagnating. They could have had it
all,
backwards.
They could have had it all. They could have had a winning side and spent the same money.
If they got rid of Ed Woodward Elliott.
Right. It's not just Woodward, because Woodward is their responsibility. They recruited him. They allowed him to run. It's on them. Right?
That's my point.
But the point is, if you're a businessman rather than a football person, you look at that and go, well, what do I care? I'm still taking hundreds of millions. I bought a football club for nothing. I geared it with their own money. I used their money to pay for everything. I took dividends and interest servicing payments, and I've just sold 25% of it for £1 billion, plus the hundreds of... I'm golden. Now they've changed their tack because Radcliffe is coming in, looking at the situation, saying the next evolution of opportunity for Man United needs to include on the field stuff. So what will happen with Radcliffe is he will either be very good at what he says he's going to be. Brailsford won't be an imposter like Clive Woodward was when he came into English football and thought he was going to impress upon everybody's view. He'll either be good, and maybe you'll get Dougie Friedman and other people in and around them that will give him some technical knowledge around the football operation. It'll either be a success or it won't. But what it will be is it'll be 10% better than it is now. Now, if that 10% is the difference between Man United being in
seventh, eighth,
and maybe winning the league, in order for United to regain their composure, it needs a 10% decline in Manchester City and Liverpool and a 10% increase in Man United. And maybe that happens when Guardiola departs. Maybe it happens when Klopp departs, despite our discussions about it's a turnkey for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Anyone walks into Liverpool space.
Is it the hardest job in English football right now?
Yeah. And it has been for a long time because more people... If Man City win a game and Man United lose a game, more people will talk about Man United losing a game than Man City winning a game.
That's the price in the ticket of being one of the biggest football clubs in the world.
Absolutely.
So you're Jim Radcliffe.
Yeah.
You're going to stick or twist with Ten Hag?
I honestly don't know, and it's not me sitting on the fence. I think a lot depends on how he runs this season out and what I think he represents. For me, sitting remotely, no. Mm. I've started from the outset believing that Ten Hag doesn't have the chops for this job. Now, that's also laced with the idea when you ask me, well, who does then? I go, not sure. Mm. My gut feel says, no, I wouldn't. My gut feel is that they will for a period of time. Mm. What about you?
No, I think they will have made their mind up already.
Do you?
Mm. I think they will have made their mind up already.
And what do you think that is?
That there'll be a change at Man United.
Do you think so?
There'll be a new coach in place next year.
Any idea you might think that would be?
No. Unless they go on the most amazing run and find themselves in the top four. But I come back to it. That group of players, I think what you get with average players, you get up and down performances. You know, they've got away with it.
Do you agree with that decision? And in that process, I mean, new broom sweep clean, right? And they changed their minds. Do you agree with the thinking behind that?
His argument will be that we had lots of injuries. But every manager can point to injuries over a season. I think what will cause them difficulty or danger with the people now making the decisions will be that the players he's brought in. And I think the spin he's trying to put on their performances is they will see through that.
All right. So to finish off this episode, if we are looking at Radcliffe coming in and Ten Hag being changed potentially, I had this soppy conversation off the record briefing from Ed Woodward that I don't know why we had to be party to. He wanted to have a conversation with me and Jim to tell us what he thought on his way out the door. And I asked him, are United going to be in a better situation and when do you see them winning the league again? And his argument was that we'll win it in 5 years, within 5 years. Where do you think, how long do you think it will be for United to cement themselves back at the top of the Premier League?
If you think financial fair play will come into play, I know they are a cash cow. I know they present, you know, their numbers are enormous.
Yep. In football terms.
Given that you have two opportunities a year to improve your lot, will it take six transfer? I see they got everything right. Everything went right. Four transfer windows, 2 years. If they don't
you think they could win the league against the current crop of Liverpool and Man City and Arsenal?
So for them to get it right, if they had all the luck going and every signing worked out for them, you're talking about four transfer windows, maybe two or three players in each window. And then the momentum, they'll get going because they're United. But I think it's a couple of years. Two transfer windows a year, it's a couple of years if they got absolutely everything right.
It's
about spending lots and lots of money.
It's about spending top money, but it's also about spending it right.
Well,
we've seen Chelsea spend £1 billion and get nowhere.
Yeah, well, they've spent £1 billion in what? Inside 2 years.
Chelsea, that's my point. So it's not necessarily just about how much you spend, it's about what you spend it on.
Could Man United not spend £1 billion inside 2 years?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they'd have the motivation to do such. The only way they'd spend that kind of dough is if they shipped a lot of players out and got a lot of income coming back in.
I know Jim Ratcliffe is talking about long term. That's putting a bit of an insurance policy down. He'll want it yesterday. This is a man who's super rich. He wants everything yesterday.
Absolutely.
He's used to getting his way. So, but it's as not much his club.
He's a minority shareholder.
Yeah, but he's now closely associated with it. He is now the face of Man United. For him, he's used to getting his own way. He won't have a 10-year plan.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about Jim Ratcliffe because the journey of Ineos into sport, you know, with Nice and with cycling and with other sports hasn't been great. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't great in the Admirals Cup, was he?
Mm.
So we'll see. We'll see. But they're going to have to spend some dough, but more importantly, they're going to have to spend it properly. And they're going to have to, in your view, have a different manager in the dugout. We'll see. Right, that's it for episode 13 of Simon and Sulis. Look forward to seeing you next time we're out.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.